We thank you. We love you. We exalt you. We ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, for fresh rain, fresh manna, revelation, confirmation, impartation, manifestation, freedom, healing, deliverance, more of you, less of us. As you wash us with the blood and purge us with your presence, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come take your rightful place here. Yeah. For the early and latter rain, we give you all the glory. And everybody said, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, give somebody a hug and tell them this is your day. Hallelujah. God bless you. It is good for brothers to dwell together. Would you grab your swords, please, and go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Would you read it with me? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. Everybody say in a moment. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? This is powerful. So we see here that the kingdom of God is an eternal place he's speaking about here. This is an eternal place. And this change that's going to happen is an eternal moment. Everyone say eternal moment. And one of the things that God wants us to do now and in these last days, and you may not understand and comprehend this right away, but I'm going to tell you, it's coming. There's an area where God wants us to begin to create eternal moments in our life and in others' lives. There's an opportunity to create eternal moments. Is everybody with me? And if you look at what is a moment is a recorded event of time, isn't it? Well, eternal moments are life-changing and God-fearing. Say they're life-changing and God-fearing. Oh, they are recorded events of time with an eternal purpose. That's what an eternal moment is. It's a recorded event of time with an eternal purpose. Is everybody with me? Go to Matthew 6. Eternal moments. You know, you think about it, when Jesus went to Jerusalem, he wept. Why did he weep? Because they missed his visitation, didn't they? They missed the eternal moment. In Matthew 6 and verse 31, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Would you read it with me in verse 31? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Hello. Now, this is not an eternal moment. That's a carnal moment. Hello? How many of y'all know worry and fear, anxiety, stress is a carnal moment? And it certainly has no promotion of eternal things, does it? There is no eternal purpose in a carnal moment. Has everybody got it? Let's go a little further. Verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things. But what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So we see here that worry, fear, anxiety are carnal moments. That's why he says, seek the kingdom of God first, right? Why? To create an eternal moment. Is everybody with me? It's our responsibility to create eternal moments now. That's why you and I were rescued. That's why we carry the anointing. It's to create eternal moments. Anybody remember what an eternal moment is? It's a recorded event of time with an eternal purpose. It's a recorded event of time with an eternal purpose. That is an eternal moment. It is life-changing and God-fearing. Matthew 13, verse 47. Matthew 13 and verse 47. Let's read it together. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but they what? Threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." So they understood these things. What Jesus was using here, he was using parables. Now, a parable is a parallel to the eternal things. But Jesus was using carnal moments, something that they could relate to in their life, with eternal interpretations. Does everybody see this? What was he doing? He was creating an eternal moment. How many of y'all, salvation is an eternal moment? Jesus always maximized the moment. We are to maximize moments. Has everybody got it? Go to Ecclesiastes 2. In other words, stop wasting time. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Maximize the moment. By maximizing the moment, you're able to see all the way through. You're able to see what's going on. See, if you're walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, these are the areas you'll be able to see these moments to maximize so that you can create an eternal moment. Jesus is the wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. And wisdom in this arena is what tells us what to do. It takes and tells knowledge what to do. So Jesus was taking everything that he had created in every area, was able to maximize it to bring a parable or a parallel of the eternal things and to create an eternal moment for people to understand and to see the eternal purposes and what was available for them. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, is everybody there? In verse 15, 2:15. So I said in my heart, what? As it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this is all vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever. Since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As a fool. Now, this is powerful. Therefore, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. In other words, he was saying everything of carnal moments is nothing but vanity unless it is turned into an eternal moment. Has everybody got it? All carnal moments are vanity. You know, there are pleasurable moments. There are pleasurable moments. A couple gets married. It's a carnal pleasurable moment, isn't it? But it also has an eternal moment to it also because it represents the area where Jesus, the Christ, is going to marry his bride. So all of these things that's happening, we have a carnal moments that are going to vanish, aren't we? Everybody's bank account's going to vanish. There's moments when you're going to, that you have great times with friends and fellowship and so forth, and these memories are going to go. They will not go with you. They are called carnal moments that will perish and vanish. And their reality of it is that they are vain, in vain, their vanity. What they are to do is to encourage us while we're here on this side, aren't they? In other words, all the things that we're doing in the carnal is nothing but vanity. Everything will go away. I can't explain or express enough in the last few days of my life here. Have just everything to me right now has all been in vain. Except for anything that has an eternal moment. Does everybody got it? It's like, man, why do we do what we do? We waste so much time for selfish pleasures. But they are carnal moments, aren't they? And in these carnal moments, they in certain areas, in other words, here we are in fellowship, and this is wonderful. But this is going to vanish, isn't it? And still, you will have to stand before God and give account. And one of the things that we're going to give account to is these eternal moments. In other words, these are opportunities for eternal moments. And these eternal moments are related to eternal purposes in the area where your life is not manifest in vain. Didn't even Paul say that? I pray that your salvation, I pray all my labor with you and training you was not in vain. In other words, it wasn't forgotten. It wasn't misused. It wasn't put aside, but it was utilized to create eternal moments for people to get saved, for people to get healed. All of these areas so that they can learn how to create an eternal moment. Amen? Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Carnal moments of vanity, they all will perish. You know, happy and sad also. You know, there's times when we're happy, we're joyful, things happen, you get a raise at work, hallelujah, you make more money, you're all happy, but it's still a vain thing, isn't it? Prosperity, poor, those who are great, fame, and those who are unknown, all vanity. Everything will perish. The only thing that will last are those things that are eternal. Go to Job 18. You know, we get so caught up in carnal moments, argue over carnal moments, fight over carnal moments, and all of these goofy moments that are nothing but in vain, and we waste so much time. You know, the enemy loves to create a carnal moment to bring glory to his name. But praise God, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And it's our responsibility to create eternal moments. It's our responsibility. We are the body of Christ. Job 18. Is everybody there in verse 17? Would you read it with me? The memory of him perishes from the earth, and he has no name among the renowned. He is driven from light into darkness. He's chased out of the world. He has neither son nor prosperity among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. Those in the west are astonished at this day, and those in the east are frightened. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him who does not know God. No eternal moment. No eternal purpose in him who does not know God. The only thing people, you know, many people are just remembered by the area of their fame or their wealth in carnal moments. But those of us who are in the arena of eternal moments, what is remembered is the great men and women of God that have paid a price in losing their life to expand God's kingdom and to create eternal moments for others to learn how to create eternal moments. It's an awesome thing. Awesome. And all of these things that we've sought and been in pleasureful in the world, drunkenness, drugs, alcohol, fornication, all of these things were vain moments. They are carnal moments that lead to hell. And it's amazing and how many individuals still not willing to release carnal moments and wanting to grab hold of an eternal moment. And I'm telling you, there's an eternal moment opening even now. It's an event of time. with an eternal purpose. And God has called us to create those things in our life and wherever we go and whatever we do. We must maximize every moment. Is everybody okay? Oh, let's go a little further. This is where you and I are to create moments that cause eternal access. We are to create moments that cause eternal access. Ephesians 3. Is everybody there? Come on, it was an eternal moment, man. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's read it. To me who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. So what was he saying? To make all see. How? By an eternal moment. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to the what? Eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, and whom we have boldness in what? Access with confidence to faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Oh, hallelujah. So grace was granted to fulfill eternal purposes by creating eternal moments. Everybody got it? In other words, Jesus, you know, when you think about it, Jesus came into the world as the what? Christ. And because he came into the world as the Christ, the word Christ here is a representation as the eternal presence, eternal power, and eternal truth that came into a carnal realm. This was the Christ. He came and he brought the eternal presence, the eternal power, and the eternal truth. And it was available to anyone. This eternal presence, eternal power, and eternal truth is called the anointing. It's called the what? Anointing. The anointing. And it's granted to anyone willing to follow Christ. And the anointing is to create eternal moments. And these eternal moments are to be created through the body of Christ to the rest of the existence of time of mankind. Does everybody got it? In other words, the purpose of all of this was Jesus came into the world as the Christ, the anointing with the eternal presence, power, and truth, that those who followed him would receive the anointing from him so that you and I, for the rest of the existence of mankind in this time, would cooperate with Christ to manifest eternal moments or create eternal moments. And this is done through the body of Christ, isn't it? Mark 16. In Mark 16, in verse 16, would you read it with me? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. What are these signs for? To create eternal moments. It says, in my name they will what? Cast out demons. Oh, yeah. They will speak with new tongues. Yeah, nice. And they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. What's the purpose of that? To create what? Eternal moments. How many of y'all know Moses had an eternal moment? Go to Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. So Moses was tending the flock. It was a carnal moment, right? He was out there. God got him out there, though. He was tending the flock, you know. being submissive. And Jethro was his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Now I want you to understand something. There was something that the Lord did. He got Moses' attention, didn't he? Before anything happened, before God spoke, he first got his attention. Does anybody understand that? See, so many times we're expecting God to speak in certain areas, but we're not listening. We're expecting him to do something, but we're not listening. So what happens then, our desires speak louder, our emotions speak louder, and we're paying more attention to our emotions and desires than what God is saying. And we miss God. Does everybody see it? And we miss that eternal moment. But Moses turned, and then the Lord said to him, is everybody there? So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said to Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, understand this, that God always gives direction. In other words, he's going to tell you how to create that eternal moment. Now, you all know that we are co-creators with God now, right? Amen. We're the body of Christ. So God's Spirit is flowing through the body of Christ to create things. He's the creator, isn't he? But he still uses the body of Christ to cooperate in creating things. Go to Revelation 1. How many of you know Saul, who had an encounter with the Lord and became Paul? He had an eternal moment. Was it life-changing and God-fearing? Yes. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Revelation 1:10. The Apostle John, I was in the what? In the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in the book and send it to the seven churches, which is in Asia, Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamos, and Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. So we see here that John had an eternal moment. And he wrote down this eternal moment, didn't he? So that everyone could now read about, study this eternal moment, which will bring encouragement to somebody else. So what? Want an eternal moment, or to create an eternal moment. Does everybody see this? Go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. The book of Joel. Joel's place. Is everybody there? Verse 28. Would you read it with me? And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. Why? To create eternal moments. Hello, dreams, visions, they create eternal moments? Amen. Prophecy, will that create eternal moment? Amen. Do you understand why the Christ came into the world? Now, he was the created eternal moment, right? But he was the creator of the eternal moment. And because he's the creator of the eternal moment, everyone under his authority cooperating with him will also create eternal moments. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Let's read it together. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions in what? Revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. So did Paul have an eternal moment?
Hello?
It was definitely an eternal moment, wasn't it? But he said in revelations and visions, they bring eternal moments. Is everybody okay? Go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now I want you to get this. Those who are Christ, in other words, those that are cooperating with the anointing, the Christ. The Bible says he who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. So if you're actually cooperating with the anointing, the eternal presence, the eternal power, and the eternal truth, has everybody got this? There's something different going to be happening. You will not allow emotion. You will not allow desires or flesh to speak louder than the voice of God. Is everybody with me? If you're cooperating, if you're not, your flesh is not crucified. You're still hearing other things you shouldn't hear or cooperating with them. Is everybody all right? Let's go a little further. Let's read 24 again. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Ooh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, man, this is powerful. If you live in the Spirit, you should be walking in the Spirit. In other words, we should be maximizing the moment to create eternal moments. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become what? Conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Why is he warning us of this? Because you're going to be cooperating with Christ, the anointing, to create eternal moments. And he says, man, don't be boasting about these things. Don't be conceited about. Quit telling everybody what God is using you for. Hello? Let God be God, and we be his servants. I get a lot of people who come to me, well, you know, God is doing this, and God is doing, hey, listen, that's great, God's doing stuff, but don't boast about it. Well, you know, my calling is this, but listen, God will fulfill and put you in position for your calling. When you're boasting about your calling, you're already out of position. Hello? Has everybody got it? See, that's conceited. That's prideful. Now what you're doing is bragging about your gifting instead of boasting on him who gave it to you. And that is an open door for the enemy. That is not crucifying the flesh. That is promoting it. Is everybody okay? Oh, glory. 1 Peter 5. 1 Pete 5. And we're going to close here. God willing. First Peter chapter 5. Is everybody there? In verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. Humbleness. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, everybody remember what grace is. Grace is the plan of escape of Satan's deceptions and the wrath of God. It's also God's plan, isn't it? So what is he saying? He said, if you're prideful, you're not getting it. But if you're humble, you will get it. So grace is assisted in eternal moments. In other words, grace is assisted in creating eternal moments. Is everybody with me? Humble receive grace in eternal moments or opportunities. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can get to create carnal moments. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Now we know faith is connected with eternity. It's not connected in the natural. It's connected in the spiritual. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, that's training, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And everybody said amen? Amen. Praise God. So it is our responsibility to cooperate. The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. That means you're cooperating with an eternal event. Sons of God are not of this world. So you're walking in faith. You're walking in the eternal realm. So if we are led by the Spirit, we are sons of God, that we are to cooperate with God in the area of creating eternal moments. There are three things that will create eternal moments. The first one is prayer and decree. These are essential, prayer and decree. If you're not a person of prayer, God ain't going to use you. But I'll tell you who will. The second one is praise and worship. Why? Because the presence of God. You got to have the presence of God. If you're not a worshiper, you won't get eternal moments. You have a bunch of carnal moments and a bunch of carnal memory that will perish away. And the third one is cooperation and obedience. So the first one is prayer and decree, calling those things that are not as though they are, prophecy and so forth, the gifts of the Spirit. The second one is praise and worship, getting his presence. The third one is cooperation and obedience. Those three are essential in creating eternal moments. We are to cooperate with the Spirit. We are to cooperate with the Christ, the anointing, which creates eternal moments so people can get saved. You know, you can create it. Listen, you can turn a carnal moment like a funeral into an eternal moment. I love them. I don't care if I was invited to every funeral there was. People are still looking at the dead. I always tell them, there ain't nobody in here. That's an opportunity to turn a carnal moment into an eternal moment. You know, what about when somebody gives birth? You know, most people who see a child get born go, oh, what a miracle. Look at, I mean, you know, people are still amazed about how children are birthed. I mean, it's just amazing and how the body functions. And I mean, you know, it's just awesome. And in that arena, that's an opportunity for eternal moments. Funerals, death. There's an eternal moment that is essential, and it's commanded by God. And it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is an eternal moment. He commands us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? So we could cooperate with him to create eternal moments. That's why there's so much that is happening right now. There's so much division, even in the body of Christ. If everybody was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and being led by the Spirit of truth, we'd all be one mind. We'd all be of same purpose, but different function. We'd all understand what's going on instead of division, instead of self-promotion of doctrine, instead of self-promotion of labeling of denomination. Did you ever know that the word denomination is demonation? Hello? That's the word, non-denomination. But I just want to share with you the opportunity right now for the rest of your days on this planet until your last breath. It is our responsibility to take carnal moments and turn them into eternal moments. And that's only by cooperation with the anointing. That's why the Christ came, to bring us to the anointing. And I'm going to draw up a little thing to put in this package when we get this together, so we can understand the fullness of it in the area of even fulfilling the feast. So cooperate and create eternal moments. Every area, whether you're on a golf course, a tennis court, a football field, wherever, all of these carnal moments are an opportunity to create an eternal moment with somebody. So it's not in vain. Turn those things that are in vain for something good. Every opportunity, maximize it, because time is running out. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask for your forgiveness when we've not maximized the moment. We ask that you prepare our hearts in communion. Allow the seed to grow and bear fruit for your glory. And that Christ, the anointing, will be manifested in us and through us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.